We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are Lord of the church and Lord of our lives and Lord of this moment. We commend you all that we are and all that we have. And we give you praise and thanksgiving that you are our God and Savior, that you are the fulfiller, that you have brought to us righteousness which we could in ourselves not do, not ever. We thank you for your perfect teaching. We thank you for your perfect love. We thank you for your perfect ways. We pray it in your name. Amen. Dear friends in our Lord, we're going to go right to page 810 again. I'd like to build on Matthew 5 and the text. The worship folder might have said that I'm preaching a sermon series of Matthew 5. I'm really going to expand that a little bit to all of the Sermon on the Mount, which is chapters 5, 6, and 7, but you know that. But I want to build now on what we've read already today. So Jesus said, I have come to fulfill the law. It would give us two insights into who Christ is. Number one, when he said, when he speaks about the word of God, the law and the prophets, sometimes we have this tendency to think of it as words on a page. Jesus said in his own many different ways, I am the word of God. I'm word made flesh. All of that is part of our celebration, Christmas and Epiphany especially. But then the fulfiller of the law, which we could in ourselves not do, and he teaches us this so beautifully. Watch this now in verse 16. We have that in the same way, let your light shine before others. We talked about that yesterday, and it's an encouragement to live that life in Christ. But now in verse 20, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven, which is what we want, which is what we desire, to enter the kingdom of heaven. And now Jesus says, we've got to have a righteousness higher than, better than the Pharisees, and they were the best at doing those things. And you can always imagine the hearers saying, oh, that's a tall order to have righteousness over the Pharisees. Okay, I've got to really get at this. I've really got to strive to do the best that I can. And Jesus then builds on that to show the listeners and to show us, but it's not possible. Verse 21, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. Imagine the hearers, okay, right, can't murder, or I'll go to hell. Can't murder so I can go to heaven. That's the way the human mind, the darkness of our flesh, can think. But I say to you, verse 22, that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. What? I got to go through life now without being angry? Whoever insults his brother is liable to the council. That's part of the law. Whoever says, you fool, is going to go to hell. I give you, every driver of St. Louis is going to hell. Right? Everybody who's driven to St. Louis and has said, you fool, straight to hell. But it gets worse. As Jesus, just look at this, verse 27. You've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. Right, cannot commit adultery. God, I can do that. But I'm telling you, verse 28, I say to you, that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. We know that verse. We've heard it before. And Jesus says, unless you do this, you cannot be saved. Everybody here is going to hell. You go on with anger. You go on with forgiving your enemies. And then we get to verse 48. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's not just the Pharisees and the righteousness of the Pharisees. We've got to go beyond that. But it's God. Sometimes even seminarians and their loved ones can make the mistake of thinking that we can do this if we just strive, if we just work, if we just get closer to Jesus. But the comparison is not me and others in the world. I'm better than him. I'm better than her. I've not committed adultery. The comparison is to God, who is perfect. Now, I'm going to, Erica, good morning. Is this Noah? Nathaniel, I need you, please. I need Nathaniel. All right, Nathaniel, come on up with me. How are you? All right, you didn't expect this. Here, give me five. There you go. All right. Can he stand in this chair, Erica? All right, stand in this chair. All right, Nathaniel, stay right there. Don't do this at home, okay? Don't stand on chairs at home. I'm going to ask Nathaniel to jump from this chair to that chair. You think he can do it? You think he can? No. When I count to three, okay? Do you think you can do it? Okay. How many of you think that Nathaniel can jump from this chair to that chair? Heben Sie die Hand hoch. That's German, all right? All right, on the count of three. One, two. No, hang on. That's too close. Can you do it? Do you think you can jump from this chair to that chair? How about there? You think? All right. How many of you think that Nathaniel can jump from this chair to that chair? A few. The number's dwindling. All right, count of three. One, two. No, I'm going to move it down here. Jump down for a bit. Okay. Stay with me. All right, come on. All right, hang on. Nathaniel, do you think you can jump from this chair to that chair? You think you can? How many of you think that Nathaniel can jump from this chair to that chair? Right? I don't think you can do it. I don't think you're strong enough. I know you're strong and I know you can jump, but I don't think you can do it. You can't step on the floor. You have to jump. Is there any way that you think you can do that? No. Okay. Here. Climb on. Get it? All right. All right. Go back to your mom. All right. Nathaniel, thank you. Yeah. Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, and they were good. They were the best at keeping the law. Just start to think, all right, I can do it. If I do my best, if I'm always on, if I'm mindful and watchful, if I pray a lot. And you've heard that it was said, if anyone commits adultery, you're liable of the fire of hell. Can't commit adultery. And if you've had lust in your thought, if you've called another person a fool, if you don't forgive and pray for your enemies, hell. And we say, can't do it. The Sermon on the Mount is such a gorgeous gospel picture because it tells us you can't do it. I know that in the Sermon on the Mount, there's the third use of the law. There's wisdom there of God. He is our God. He is the Word made flesh. But at the core, Jesus is saying to the crowd, you need me. You people need a Savior. And I have come to be your Lord and Savior, to cover your sin, to forgive your sin, to fulfill all righteousness on your behalf. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, don't look it up, we all know it. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that he might become the righteousness of God, the fulfillment, the righteousness. Can we do it? No, you cannot. And we get it here, but sometimes we don't always get it here until we begin to recognize, I need a Savior. And thankfully, I have a Savior. He's loved me by name from before the creation of the world. Wow. And he has taken my place. The ugliness of the cross is because he has not only covered my sins, which are many, but your sins and your sins. And the cross is sheer ugliness turning to sheer beauty. I have come, Jesus said, to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill the law on your behalf. And unless your righteousness exceeds that, and we're tempted to trust ourselves, our good deeds, that we're better than others, pastors in training, come on. No, no. What's your thought life like? I'm going to hell. No, because you have a Savior. It's the most wonderful news. And as he's come to us, he reminds us again and again, you need me. You have me. I'm yours forever. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in ourselves, in our nature, we are blind to the truth, dead in our sins and your enemies. That is our nature. We confess it. And we confess pride and a misunderstanding of ability. But draw us by your Holy Spirit increasingly to you and into this joy that you, God and Lord, that you are our Savior forever. We pray it in your perfect, wonderful, beautiful, saving name. Amen.